This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." This is God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word. Father, we thank you that in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son. And we thank you that by your word and spirit, you have revealed your Son to our hearts. And Father, we pray tonight that you would do the same thing. Father, there are some here who need to behold your salvation for the very first time. We pray, Father, tonight that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes that they might see what Simeon saw. And Father, we pray for those of us who have seen and tasted and beheld your salvation. Father, we pray even tonight that you would revive our hearts with the one who is the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Amen. We pray for your help tonight. We pray for the illumination of your Holy Spirit as we spend time in your word. You truly are the one that we adore. And we now ask that you would enlarge our hearts so that we would adore you all the more. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the beautiful scenes in the infancy narratives is the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple. And in fact, if you look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, we didn't read this text, but this sets up the context for the passage. And when 8 days had passed before circumcision, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so here in this wonderful scene, we have Mary and Joseph bringing the baby, according to the law of Moses, up to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Now, as this event unfolds in Luke's gospel, and it's unique to Luke's gospel, there will be two witnesses in the temple. These two witnesses will not be the high priest or the ruler of the temple or anybody who happened to be exalted in Israel. The two witnesses in the temple are going to be two ordinary, yet extraordinarily godly people. Simeon and Anna. And in fact, these two ordinary people will give testimony and will also prophesy. And their testimony and their prophecy will actually serve as a witness or a divine sanction on Jesus as the promised Messiah. Now, in the passage that we just read, we were introduced to this man named Simeon. Very, very common name among Jewish people because he's one of the 12 sons of Jacob, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Simeon is a very common name, but there are a number of things about this man that are remarkable. First of all, it tells us that he was a righteous and godly man. When the Bible uses the expression that he was a righteous man, what that means is that he was just before God. He was a man who was in a right relationship with God. He was, in the words of Habakkuk 2:4, a just man who lived by faith. He was also designated by Luke as a godly or a devout man. The idea there is that he was a faithful son of the covenant. He was a real, genuine, God-fearing man. The idea of being a devout man in the Old Testament, using this particular word, had the idea of being one who lived in the conscious presence of God and lived in the fear of the Lord. And so this man, Simeon, wasn't a priest. In all likelihood, he was a simple layman who lived in deep communion with God and with the Holy Spirit. The other thing that Luke tells us about this man, Simeon, is that he was actually living in a state of expectation. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. Now, this particular expression, consolation of Israel, was one of the major future hopes for the nation Israel. The hope that God would visit His people with power and bring them comfort or consolation. In fact, if you keep your finger there in Luke 2 and turn back to Isaiah chapter 40... Isaiah chapter 40, which is a major turning point in the prophecy of Isaiah. And we read these words, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, O comfort my people." Isaiah chapter 49. Verse 13. "Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted or consoled His people, and He will have compassion on His afflicted." Chapter 51 and verse 3. "Indeed, the Lord will comfort or console Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness will be made like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody." The expectation of faithful Jewish people was that one of these days God Himself would visit His people and actually bring them comfort and consolation, which would entail the forgiveness of their sins and the coming of a new Eden and a new paradise and new joy, and all of their sorrows and their sins would be wiped away. In fact, the rabbis during the intertestamental period started to refer to the Messiah as the Comforter, the one who would actually come and deliver Israel from all of her sins and sorrows and actually bring her the consolation and comfort that could only come from her God. And so here is Simeon, who is living in eager expectation of the consolation of Israel, the visitation of God. The next thing that Luke tells us about this man, Simeon, is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit did not come into existence in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was in existence under the Old Covenant as well. And Simeon, as an Old Covenant believer, had the work of the Spirit in his life in a very unique way. The Spirit of God was upon him. He had insight and understanding. No doubt, insight and understanding into the Scriptures in a unique way. He was a prophet of God in the sense that God, by the Spirit, had revealed things to him. And he, in turn, would then reveal those things to others. The Spirit of God was upon him. And then Luke tells us that the Spirit actually had given Simeon a particular revelation. The Spirit had actually told this man, Simeon, a special word. And in fact, later, once he sees the child, he says this prophecy was according to your rhema, according to your spoken word to your servant. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, had spoken to Simeon and given him a special word, one that was not found in the books of Moses, one that was not found in the Psalter, but one that was specially communicated to him in a unique and very individual way. And this is what God had told Simeon, that godly, devout, righteous man: you will not see death until you see the Lord's Christ. I love that expression, the Lord's Christ. The idea is Yahweh's anointed. In other words, the long-awaited Messiah. And so here is this man, Simeon, and no doubt throughout his life, at whatever point in his life God had given this word to him, it filled him with this incredible expectation that he would see with his own eyes the Lord's Christ. I have no doubt that people must have thought that Simeon was probably a little overly optimistic in what God was going to do in Israel. And perhaps Simeon actually shared that word with other people, and no doubt Simeon was looked at as a kook or a nut, but here was one who tenaciously held to the word of God as it had come to him. He was absolutely confident that he would not go down to the grave until he had seen with his own eyes the Lord's Christ. And he lived in expectation. He lived in anticipation. I get the feeling from the text that Simeon was an old man. And no doubt, as each year passed, and he got closer and closer to drawing his last breath, he must have known that the visitation of God was close. Verses 27 and 28, we actually have that blessed day, and the Holy Spirit actually directs Simeon to the temple. This godly man who lived in close communion with God is prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. Now, Luke doesn't actually tell us how this communication takes place, but if you just use just a little tiny bit of sanctified imagination, you can have just a wonderful time imagining. Here's this man, Simeon. He wakes up that blessed morning. He goes and he's reading his scriptures, and then he goes to his knees and he begins to pray. And then and there, the Spirit of God prompts him and says, Simeon, today is the day you need to go up to the temple. Well, Simeon probably went to the temple quite regularly to pray at the hours designated for prayer, but yet that day was something different. That day was a special day, and the Spirit of God prompts this godly, devout, and righteous man, and he must have anticipated, God is going to do something today, for the Spirit of God has prompted me to go up to the temple. Now, Simeon himself is either in the court of the Gentiles or the court of the women. He is not in the holy place where only the priests could enter. And Luke sets the stage for us. And there he is, there's Simeon in the temple courts. And here come Mary and Joseph. In God's providence, Mary and Joseph bring their baby up to the temple on that day. Now, in a very real sense, we have to understand that Mary and Joseph themselves are incredibly devout people. This is the day that God has appointed for them according to the custom of Moses to take that baby and to present him in the temple. The days of purification had been complete, and so this was something that they were doing to fulfill the requirement of the law. Luke says literally, according to the custom of the law. But in God's providence, he's bringing a convergence together, and so here is Simeon prompted by the Holy Spirit to be in the temple on that day. Here's Mary and Joseph in their devotion to the law of God to do that which is in and of itself devout and right before God. And then, again, using a little bit of sanctified imagination, here is this old man, and who knows, but he was maybe pacing back and forth in the court of the Gentiles waiting, and then at that moment when Mary and Joseph come walking in with that baby, there must have been other couples walking in with their babies on that day, don't you think? The Spirit of God says to Simeon, that's the one. That's the one. Israel's long-awaited Messiah. The one who's going to sit on the throne of his father David. The one who is going to bring comfort and consolation to Israel. And there is this blessed interception. Simeon comes up and now remember, this has got to be a very, very solemn day for Mary and Joseph. This is an important day. They're doing that which is required by law, but they're doing it out of a heart of devotion. And so in their devotion to God, they're following the Mosaic prescription. And as they bring their baby into the temple, this old man walks up to them and holds out his arms, and they hand him the baby. How many, if you ran into somebody in Walmart and you didn't know them and you had the baby, you know, the Harmons are going through Walmart and they're holding Kayla and some old guy comes up and just holds his hands out, how many of you are going to say, yeah, here you go? You're not going to do that. But yet here are these two people walking in the fear of the Lord, walking by the Spirit of God. And there's something that they know that they need to do. And in fact, the Greek text actually says that Simeon received him. He received him. And Simeon takes that little baby into his arms and he blesses God. In verses 28 to 32, we have what has been traditionally called the Nunc Dimittis, that is, let your servant depart text. And notice there's this marvelous, beautiful expression by Simeon. And the very first words out of his mouth, he takes the baby into his arms and he blesses God, saying, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." As far as Simeon was concerned, the promise had been made. The fulfillment has just happened. The praise is now going forth. And it's interesting. He actually calls God in this blessing, despota. Despot, sovereign master, the one who is in absolute, thorough control of the times, the epochs, the hours, the minutes, and the days. Release your doulos, release your servant. In other words, Simeon takes that baby into his arms. Notice, there's no doubt, is this the one? There is no questioning. There is this absolute confidence. My task has been completed now. According to your word, you can release me in peace. I am now free from my post. Why? Because my eyes have seen the salvation of God. Simeon is actually holding in his arms the very fulfillment of God's promise. Tangibly holding this little baby, 8 days old, holding him, who is nothing other than the incarnate fulfillment of the promise of God. And now Simeon says, I can now die in peace because the word of God's promise to bring his consolation to Israel, the hope of Israel, the glory of Israel, and the light to the nations has all been fulfilled. I can now die. A happy man. J.C. Ryle says, "Lord," says old Simeon, "now lettest thy servant depart in peace." He speaks like one for whom the grave has lost its terrors and the world its charms. He desires to be released from the miseries of this pilgrim state of existence and to be allowed to go home. He is willing to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. He speaks as one who knows where he is going when he departs from this life and cares not how soon he goes. The change with him will be a change for the better, and he desires that the change come. There is something about tasting the goodness of God and the goodness of His Word that brings a satisfaction to the soul. My mom looked at me on Saturday, all of her head shaved, big bald spot in the back of her head. And she looked at me and she says, "I'm so happy in the Lord that if I dropped dead right now, it couldn't get any better." I think that's exactly what Simeon was thinking. I'm holding God's salvation. It doesn't get any better than this. I've completed my task. I've seen God's salvation with my eyes. And now I'm ready to go home. But don't pass over too quickly this little expression as to why he wants to now go home departing in peace. Because my eyes have seen your salvation. Understand very clearly in the text that the baby is God's salvation incarnate. The baby is God's salvation in flesh. How absolutely, utterly amazing. Here this old man, steeped in the Scriptures, knew what it was to say, "See the salvation of God." How different is this expression than what Moses told the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14? "Stand still and behold the salvation of God. Of your God." And what did they see? They saw the might and the power of God going forth against His enemies. They saw Him split the Red Sea. They saw Him drown Pharaoh's army in that sea. They saw raw, pure, unmixed divine power. Simeon says the exact same words, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." And it is not the raw power of the Exodus. It is this amazing, gentle, soft, meek, mild infant. He describes the salvation. Here is the one who is prepared in the presence of all the people. The idea here is the preparation has been the course of redemptive history. The preparation has been the prophecies and the types and the shadows. The preparation has been God's deeds over and over and over again, pointing to that glorious day when God would fulfill everything, not in type and shadow, but in reality, in fact, in incarnate reality. And so the one, here he is, prepared in the presence of all the people, and he is to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people, Israel. Understand that the text that Gary read for us earlier, all of those texts relate to the very thing that Simeon is saying right here. In fact, what Simeon says is almost a mini theology of Isaiah 40 to 66. The idea is there's Simeon standing and he understands God has acted. God has performed His mighty deed according to promise, according to all of those glorious promises from Isaiah 40 to 66 to bring forth the glory of Israel, to bring forth the one who would be a light to the nations, to the Gentiles, to bring forth the one who would embody the covenant, to bring forth the one who would be His salvation. And so here he is. The light, the glory, the revelation, the covenant of the people. The one who would bring salvation to the ends of the earth, the Gentiles. The suffering servant of Yahweh. Simeon is standing there in the temple court, holding in his arms God's mightiest deed. The whole scope of redemptive history is a record of the mighty deeds of God. And some of them are quite spectacular, don't you agree? Beginning with creation, working through the Exodus, all throughout redemptive history, all of these amazing redemptive deeds, and yet Simeon is standing there holding God's mightiest deed. Verse 33, "And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him." Now, here's Mary and Joseph, and they are amazed one more time. It's not going to be the last time that they're going to be amazed, of course. The revelations about Jesus just keep coming. Whether it's through angels or whether it's through shepherds, and now it's through this old man Simeon. Now in the next scene, it's going to be this old woman Anna. The revelations just keep coming about the Lord Jesus. And here's what you need to understand. God gives revelation not just to reveal, but to amaze. God doesn't just give revelation to inform the mind. He gives revelation to overwhelm the heart. And so here's Mary and Joseph, these devout people who no doubt, they don't have a full, complete understanding of what's going on. They know God, they trust God, they know the Word, they're clinging, but there's still much confusion, there's much that they don't understand, and people they don't know, and angels that they've never seen angels before, keep telling them all these marvelous things about this infant, and now this old man just tells them that he's seen the Lord's Christ, that he's seen God's salvation. And Joseph and Mary stand there in awe. amazed. Do you still get amazed at the Lord Jesus? If you've never been amazed at the Lord Jesus, then you don't know Him. To know Him, to have Him revealed to you, is to be amazed by Him over and over and over. Simeon blesses them as a man who is filled with the Spirit. He blesses them. And then he says something to them which brings a dark side to this amazing day. Verse 34, Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed." And what Simeon does here is he actually relates the messianic text of Isaiah 8, 14 and 15 and 28, 13 to 16 directly to Jesus. The imagery in those two texts from Isaiah, Isaiah 8 and Isaiah 28, is that the Messiah would be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And here Simeon tells the parents that this little child, this little harmless, helpless baby, would actually be one who would divide people into two groups. Those who reject Him and fall, and are thus rejected, and those who believe in Him and rise and thus are vindicated. Now, understand that here's this young couple, and they're now hearing that this little baby is going to be the occasion for the rise of many and for the fall of many. This little child is going to be the one who is going to divide humanity into two groups. Those who are rejected and those who are vindicated. Those who are lost, those who are saved. Those who bank their hope upon the cornerstone and those who are crushed by it. He's also going to be a sign that is opposed. Although He is salvation incarnate, He will be opposed and hated. Simeon says two more things. It's a little difficult to discern their relationship. It could be two separate things. Could be two related things. And we see it in verse 35. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." New American Standard takes these two thoughts together. I'm not sure that they have to be. Let's take them one at a time. Let's take the last one first. This little child is going to end up being the great searcher of hearts. He's going to be the one who draws out what is in the heart. He's going to be the one who brings to the surface that which is deep in the heart. This actually ends up happening for the first time in Luke chapter 4 when he goes to the synagogue in Capernaum and then preaches from the great text of Isaiah 61. And notice what happens in that passage. He ends up bringing about an incredible response. And it was not a response of "hip hip hooray, we are all for Jesus." It was a response of, "let's run him out of town and throw him off a cliff." There is something about Jesus, not God generically speaking, but Jesus in particular, that brings to the surface our attitudes and thoughts towards God. You know, you can talk to people about God and there's a comfort level about God, but you introduce the name Jesus Christ into the conversation and the conversation turns. Why? Because Jesus is still the great searcher of hearts and brings to the surface that which is down deep. And then Simeon says, special word to Mary. The sword is going to pierce your own soul. In other words, Mary herself would suffer greatly. Not as a co-sufferer for our redemption, but she would suffer greatly as a mother. Mary would actually suffer because of who her son is and because of what her son had come to do. Remember those other scenes from the Gospels. There are times where Mary herself wonders if Jesus is not out of his mind. Jesus, as the suffering servant, would live a life that would be filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of people clamoring for miracles and for his attention. And even when Mary herself wants to just speak to her son, she can't even get into the house because there's so many people. And then put yourself in Mary's place when she sends the message through the crowd and it gets to the Lord Jesus. Your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are here for you. And his reply is not, "Tell her I'll be right there." But his reply is, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? The one who does the will of God, that is my mother. Those are my brothers. Those are my sisters." Jesus' ministry would pierce Mary's soul as a mother. There would be things that would happen in his ministry that would be hard for a mother to bear, and his life would end up culminating at the young age of 33 in death. And so on that amazingly blessed day when Mary and Joseph bring that little baby into the temple court to present him to the Lord according to the law of Moses, Simeon says some marvelous things, but then he also says some hard things. "Mary, your own soul is going to be pierced." Very nice summary of this whole passage goes like this. When Simeon's prophecy is viewed as a whole, one sees a prophet at peace because he knows that God's salvation has come. Salvation's light has come in Messiah. Simeon rejoices. But the picture is not entirely rosy, for the promised one is variously perceived, and many in Israel will reject him. In the path the child takes, his mother will feel pain, but his ministry will expose who is hostile to God. The messianic sun will be a light to the world, but his shining will bring division as he shines forth. Many will be raised to the light, but tragically others will fall in judgment, having missed the promise. What all of us need to understand is this. The coming of Jesus into this world is the coming of God's salvation. And to have Jesus presented before our eyes in the pages of Scripture and in the proclamation of the gospel is to have our own hearts revealed. To have Christ presented before our eyes, not with the physical eyes of Simeon of old, but with the eyes of faith, to have Christ set before us is actually to put us in a place where either we say something like, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. My eyes have seen the Lord's Christ. I can now depart in peace. Because I am his and he is mine." Or he can be presented to you in a way where you say, as so many in his own day said, "I will not have this man to rule over me. He's okay, he's harmless as long as he's nothing but a baby in a manger. But don't go pushing Jesus on me. I would remind you tonight that Simeon's prophecy said that he was appointed for the rise and the fall of many. Jesus Christ is still the most divisive figure in human history. Jesus Christ is the dividing line in humanity. The Bible doesn't look at people as black or white or Asian or Hispanic. The Bible looks at people as either in Christ or out of Christ. Those are the only two categories the Bible knows. And here is the question. Have your eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Can't do any better than the words of Bishop Ryle. What do you think of Christ? This is the question that ought to occupy our minds. What thought does he call forth in our hearts? This is the inquiry which ought to receive our attention. Are we for him or are we against him? Do we love him or do we neglect him? Do we stumble at his doctrine or do we find it life from the dead? Let us never rest till these questions are satisfactorily answered. May those of you who know God's salvation rejoice even tonight. And may the resound of your own heart be, Lord, I could depart in peace right now because I know Jesus and I know where I am going. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.